You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
A volatile week in stocks, some losses to even big names like Apple. Tech stocks, if they're beaten up, if you liked them before this happened, do you like them more now? Is it time to buy? Well, Dave Garrity is back. He's principal at GVA Research to explain why maybe you should keep your powder dry. And you know what? It's not just about Apple, it's about China in a very big way. So, Dave, set the table for us.
Certainly. I think overall, we were encouraged by what we saw coming out of the gate this morning with the strong employment report. But what that does is basically tell us that the Fed's going to continue on their tightening. So the dollar's going to remain strong. When you look across the 10 sectors in this S&P, technology has the highest exposure to non-U.S. sources of revenue. And from that standpoint, if you're going to have a strong dollar compounded by these devaluations taking place on the part of the renminbi and potentially other Asian currencies, it says basically the technology sector is sort of ground zero in terms of being most exposed. Nonetheless, we are operating in an environment globally where people are saying, you know, growth is expected to slow. You've already seen the World Bank and the IMF come out with lower numbers. So people are saying, you know, should we gravitate more back towards technology? But we saw this rally this morning fade. Technology was leading out of the gate, but then just basically sold right off. To us, that basically says, you know, we're operating in an environment where there's a great deal of uncertainty on the margin. There are elements here that people, investors, can't necessarily get accurate information on, the Chinese economy. And from that standpoint, people are stepping back. Clearly, this is the first week of 2016 from a trading standpoint, perhaps a week to forget for most people. But it clearly says to us, the first quarter is going to be choppy. And from that standpoint, you might want to try and trade the December quarter results from the tech sector when they come out, because things have been pulled back so much already. But we don't think that we've necessarily seen a market here that set its lows for the year. It's obviously way too early to call that.
David Garrity, I just want to make sure that I'm dealing with the right numbers here. 25% of Apple's sales come right now, as far as we know, last fiscal year, from China.
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
All right. Stock is trading at $97 right now, down about 7.5% this week. Okay, getting a 2% yield. A lot more pain. And what number am I looking for in the quarter if I'm going to execute this idea of wait until the quarter comes?
In terms of, yes, China, China has become a far more significant portion of Apple's revenue mix over the past year. And the reason why the company actually outperformed the expectations in the September quarter was because China revenues were actually up over 100%. Year over year. We are in a situation where, granted, you know, people are concerned that China is going to be slowing. Our view relative to Apple is that from the standpoint of an economy that's probably still going to be growing 4 to 5%, not bad in a global context, then arguably Chinese consumers are still going to have the wherewithal to go out and buy an aspirational product such as an Apple iPhone. So in terms of what we would look at, wouldn't be so much necessarily the iPhone shipments, but I think if we look at a December quarter in which we see China revenues up year over year by probably, you know, on order with what they had in September, up about 100%, it says looking to March when you're going to have the Chinese Lunar New Year coming in, their holiday shopping period, we would say, you know, this is something at a level where their growth market from a geographic standpoint is holding up.
So, and of course, what occurs to me is, if you look at the total sales, I mean, there's so many Chinese people, right?
1.3 billion.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say 220. How much? 220. How much on the balance sheet? Cash.
Oh, cash was approximately, net was about 200 billion at the end of the last quarter.
There you go.
But my point is,
billion.
Though, Pim and Dave, that you don't have to have every Chinese worker buying an iPhone. You have such a large population. You do have a larger middle class now. And as you point out, there is still growth to have still quite good sales of iPhone. And every time there's a new something coming out of Apple, it seems like Chinese buyers, sometimes they'll have the people standing in line in New York to get the new iPhone.
Yes, exactly. And our view is that, you know, to the extent that China holds up for Apple, we are going to have the prospects, you know, later this year with respect to an iPhone product cycle around the 7. People have been disappointed with the 6S, but we think that the 7 certainly is something that starts to provide positive prospects for the stock. So, you know, we think from that standpoint, we're actually encouraged to see the number of analysts coming out over the course of this week and cutting their estimates and also cutting
the
ratings.
So at what point would you buy Apple? If it were to break below $90 a share, if something, what, is there a point where you would say, yeah, time to buy?
In a range of 85 to 90, the stock is very, very attractive. The yield will be north of the 2% that Pim was indicating. And certainly this is a company that has the wherewithal not only to continue to grow their dividend, but also has cash, if necessary, to be buying back their own stock at these levels. And the one thing to bear in mind right now with respect to not only just the tech sector but the market as a whole is that, you know, given the wait for fourth quarter earnings and the quiet periods, companies are out of the market as far as buying their stock is concerned. So, you know, from that standpoint, some names will see more support coming in later.
Well, David, I give you a choice. You get to do Twitter or you get to do Yahoo, just the order. Which one you want to do? Want to do Twitter?
Let's do Twitter.
Okay, Twitter. So the stock, I mean, boy, you didn't need a stock sell-off this week to feel terrible about owning Twitter because you've been feeling terrible for a while.
But now you get to say it in more than just 140 characters.
There you go. Exactly. Thank
How
you.
How big of a deal is that?
I understand.
Explain what happened. Explain the whole thing.
I mean, to my point of view, from a user's standpoint, it's confusing because Twitter positioned itself as essentially being a medium by which you could rapidly communicate information in short bursts. So why does one necessarily now need to have the ability to write multi-paragraph messages? If one wants to do that, there's another medium that we've all been using for quite a long time. It's called email. Now, great, you know, you get to post it to a broader audience. You could do that through a blog. So, you know, what's the wisdom of having this functionality now being added into Twitter? I'm, as an analyst, still left sort of puzzled. You know, at the same time, away from this issue of confusing their user base with what they're adding in terms of product features, this still remains the outstanding question of, you know, what's this company doing with a CEO who's got responsibilities at another company that doesn't seem to be doing very well, that happens to be public as well. So, you know, really, we need to get a management team in here that's fully dedicated relative to the company. Until that time, unfortunately, we are seeing the name drift. Does it find a bid from somebody at some point in time? Not until they get their house
13,
in order.
$13.6 billion is the market cap.
Yes.
Yeah. So, if you could see David's face, you'd know exactly what he was.
So Twitter, is this, have they gotten beaten up enough that that's another one that at some point is a buy? Or is it like maybe Twitter just hasn't, never going to quite, you know, that this could be the demise? Have we seen the peak of Twitter?
Well, I mean, as a company, they launched, they managed to become public, they managed to do that. But the question is whether they're actually able to go forth and prosper. And I would argue that technology moves rapidly enough that, you know, they don't seem to be able to make the right moves. They don't seem to be able to curate their content effectively. So I would say this is something that drifts, and until such time as they actually sort of get a stable core, an acquirer wouldn't really know what it was they were getting. Exactly.
Pim, are you going to ask Dave about Yahoo?
I was going to ask him about Yahoo. I was going to say that our own Bloomberg's Alex Sherman, Jeffrey McCracken, and Brian Womack, they have written a story, the headline of which is Yahoo said to reconsider sale of web business instead of spinoff. What is going on at Yahoo? And I mean, does the curtain ever come down on this story?
Well, arguably with Yahoo, you have a management team who now, having had to deal with, I think, what number this
you
is
mean,
as far as
Marissa Meyer.
Marissa Meyer. I mean, we had Dan Loeb who came in, you know, agitated successfully, got representation on the board. You now have a Starboard Capital, which has been coming on, another activist. You know, arguably Yahoo has now become sort of a punching bag for activists, and I would argue that the management doesn't necessarily, because they really haven't been able to succeed on the product side. You know, management's now in a situation where, in effect, they're just basically running scared. So my view is that why the stock is up today is that the prospect of selling the business would take less time and realize potentially equal or maybe greater value than spinning it off.
What does that mean, though? What is Yahoo if it's selling? What's it selling off? What is that? What are you investing in if you buy something they just spun off? And what's left?
Right. What's left is arguably their interests in Yahoo Japan as well as also in Alibaba that they haven't managed to find a way to dividend out to shareholders on a tax-efficient basis. I mean, certainly it was the possible dividending of the Alibaba shares that had sort of captured investors' interests. But to the extent that Yahoo management wasn't able to find a way through the IRS, obviously people are just left highly disappointed.
I want to thank you very much, as always. David Garrity, Principal, GVA Research. always excellent on the world of technology. Yahoo shares right now up 44 cents, $30.60 as we go into the close. You know that that makes Yahoo a $28.8 billion market cap company. You're listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.